You are now listening to Vigilantes Radio, the people's choice for quality art, interviews, music, and hot topics. Hosted by Demetrius Houdini, Black Reynolds, and otherwise known as Dini Mussolini in the multi-universe. Call in to join the mix at 602-753-1654 or hop in via Skype. All episodes of this podcast are available for free download at www.onlyonemediagroup.com. We welcome all to submit material, topics, and ideas. Email us at vradio@onlyonemediagroup.com. Enjoy the show.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. One time for my people that are indigos, and two times for my people that are vegans. We are up, Houdini Hooligans, to 14,000 listeners and 865,000 downloads worldwide just this year alone. And we've been at it for 3 solid years. I definitely appreciate all of you who have been rocking with me on this journey, and we are still growing, babe. It is all because of you. Most definitely, we are people who have dedicated their lives to music, art, and research in every aspect, and we want to allow you the opportunity to tell your story. Man, we've had celebrities on the show, from Grammy Award-winning artists to authors, professors, actors, aliens. It really doesn't matter who you are or what walk of life that you come from. Come on my show and talk to me. So to book an interview or just to share a story, email me at vradio@onlyonemediagroup.com. I'm passionate about what I do, just as passionate about what you do. And together, my friends, we can get your voice heard by the people that should hear it. So let's create something incredible. Hello, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Vigilantes Radio. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in and being a part of this audience family. If you like information on how to call in, to ask questions, or speak to my guests, you know the number, 602-753-1654, or hop in the mix directly from my website, which is onlyonemediagroup.com, and just select the Vigilantes Radio tab, and there's a little button that says, call in. That's right. You can call in directly from the browser, or if you're a Blog Talk Radio fan, just go over to the browser and type in blogtalkradio.com/onlyonemediagroup, and you'll get us. And as always, my friends, all episodes are available for free download as the show ends on my website. And that goes for any show that I've ever aired as well. So tonight's episode is the Wild Fur Interview, and I am your host, Dini Mussolini. All right, so let's go ahead and move on through the announcements. If you're following me on Facebook and any other social media site, you would know that we released another cut from the, how can I say it, the 4-disc fan collection called After the Storm. And basically, it's like a, I think there's 62 tracks on this 4-disc collection. Yeah, something like that. And each month since August, I've been releasing one song, the best songs, on the 27th of each month, like right on time, too. With my busy, hectic schedule, I managed to release records on time. That is amazing. I amaze myself sometimes. But yeah, so today I released one, and, you know, I don't tag a lot of people. I don't tag anybody, actually. I'm just here. If you want to look at it, listen to it, there it is. Have at it. And I make sure that it's available everywhere, you know, where the followers are, where the Houdini Hooligans are, as I call my fan base, so that it is right there. You don't have to search too far for it. So, yeah, that's out today. Check that out. Let me know what you think about it. Where am I? Okay, yesterday I was in Lafayette, Louisiana, performing at Empire. Back home now on November the 6th. I'll be in Amherst, New York, performing at Blackthorn 51. And then Saturday, November the 19th, I'll be in Hollywood, California, performing at the Viper Room. That's actually a 3-day event, the 18th through the 20th. Red carpet, you know, picture taking, all that, shake hands, you know, cocktails, that kind of stuff. But yeah, man, we're going to have fun out there in California. And I know you could go on songkick.com and purchase tickets there. I know it's going to tell you that I'm on tour and that's what the headline says, but I'm really not. What it is those are just spot dates, okay, for the previous album that I released 3 years ago. That's right. The album stayed alive for 3 years. Man, that is so incredible. You guys are awesome. So I was able to, you know, keep performing off that one album. Anywho, I'm tired of it. It's time to create something new. So I'm just trying to book as many shows as I can before the year ends so I can get it all out of my system and I get into my creative space, grow my beard really long, and, you know, be antisocial for a month or two until I finish the new project or however long it takes. Okay? So that is all for the announcements. Not that many. Not that busy of a guy, right? Right. All right. Let's do the Coach Deanie tip for tonight. And as you guys know, I'm also Coach Deanie, which is a service that I offer for up-and-coming artists or artists that find themselves in a rut or don't know what to do next. I'm the guy, man, that's been around the block. I'm like the, you know, the coach in high school who had a promising career and then he bummed his knee. Yeah, I'm that guy. I had a promising music career, which I still do as a hobby. And I do make a great deal amount of money from it. That's what I do for a living. But I'm that guy, that coach who could have been something, but threw his knee out. In my case, I tried to do the family thing very early and tried to chase a music career at the same time. So you know how that works. If you're in a relationship, one of the two has to give, right? So I gave in to my family and I went home to be a family guy, you know, do the 9-to-5 thing with the tie and the cubicle. Yeah. Anyway, here we are. Coach Deanie. All right. So I will tell you guys, I'm actually writing several books and helpful things as well. But for Coach Deanie, you can go to the website, onlinemediagroup.com, and from the front page, you can actually book a session with me directly from the page. You can send me a text. You can shoot me an email. You can even call me, right? And you probably have to go through a secretary. You know, she's a real pain. She won't let you get past her. You can always shoot a text, and I will get that, and I will reply. So I'm very hands-on in that aspect. But if you try to call me, man, it's like trying to call Donald Trump. You're not going to get him. I'm not that important, but you know how it goes. There's a bunch of weirdos out there. Anywho, yeah, free 15 minutes. We could talk about your, you know, where your mind is, where your goals are, where you want to be at, where you see yourself at. And really define how you can get there. And I say mindset because everything begins with how you think. Right? Right. So if you're interested, it's there. I do stay pretty busy doing that as well. All right. But the tip for tonight is this about how to release singles. How to build, you know, Rampart with a campaign. And I'm working on 10 steps, but I'm going to give you one tonight for free. A jewel, if you will. You know, the music industry is so full of mystery, from complexities to royalty calculations to the fundamental theory behind algorithmic music discovery. There is so much we simply don't understand and can't put our finger on. And you know, the so-called experts often speak in riddles, highlighting success stories that are often exceptions to the rule, leaving curious indie artists more, you know, speculative about their inquiry. Active artists spend hours upon hours surfing the web looking for the answers. You can read blogs. You can tune into a podcast such as this. You can hire Coach Dean or browse the headlines of the most relevant trades to try and figure it all out. You attend networking events and engage in forums. We hope you do. Trade old information for new ones. You're determined, eager, and anxious to get it right and to charge forward to the next level of your career. Besides, man, you spent hundreds of dollars, not thousands, if not even thousands, trying to get this thing right. And so here you are. You've written, recorded a new record. You believe it's good, great even. And maybe you've tested a bit with friends at a gig, or of course the feedback has been positive. And you're excited. This is the one that can get the momentum building in your career. But you don't have that major label budget. So you have one shot to get it right, but you don't know exactly where to start. Because one of those great music industry mysteries is the formula. Like the secret sauce, like the secret ingredient to the Krabby Patty or something like that, you know, to successfully release new singles. And my friends, the honest truth is there is no formula. There's no secret recipe, you know. If there was, major record labels wouldn't be losing revenue by the millions. As a formula, the term unexpected hit would exist in the music industry lingo. And I know, as disappointing as that may sound, even if you do read a book by Donald S. Passman, All There Is to Know About the Music Industry, there are still some basic principles you can apply to your single release in an attempt to generate exposure and potentially sell those records. So, I will give you one of my personal recommendations to help you while you're planning. This is not some, like I said, this is not some back page recipe or something like that. You know, this is something I try that I use, and I can't say it's perfect, but it worked for me. I can't say that it'll work for every artist of every musical genre, but it worked for me. And I say that because last year in the summer, I released one song. I'm good about releasing one song. But yeah, I released one song last summer, and within one day, I generated $3,000 in sales. One song. It wasn't even a full 24 hours. It was maybe like 10 hours, maybe. And just like a regular 9-to-5, I was plugging in those hours, baby, promoting that record. And it worked. And it wasn't just, you know, hard work. It was this one key factor. So before I tell you what that is, I also want to invite the listeners to contribute to this discussion later on when we do questions from the fans, you know, to chime in on what has and what has not worked for you in the past. And I also welcome my special guest tonight, which is Wildfur, to add additional steps or elaborate on the point I'm going to give. Maybe they have some really cool insight for you guys. So we'll get to that when it's time to do questions from the fans. So before I begin, I just want to set the tone, and I'm just going to assume that you are an indie artist or band that is unsigned. Although some of this information can apply to an artist or band signed to an indie label. The idea here is that you are completely do-it-yourself with no label support of any kind. And if you have mounds and mounds of manager and legal team and, you know, all that great stuff. Hey, manager, dude, listen, he has a great pointer. We need to put this to the formula that don't exist, right? So here it is. It's plain and simple, guys. Just create great music. And let's be honest, guys, my friends, the consumers, they aren't stupid. They may not be music connoisseurs, but they certainly have somewhat of a musical taste and an absurd amount of music discovery apps and website options to choose from. However, let me put on my my Princeton hat here. However, studies show that music discovery continues to be dominated by the radio. And we all know major recorded artists dominate radio airplay, and that's thanks to promotion departments with those great big budgets. But we also know that independent artists sell records too. I know, I do, I sell records. And indie artists are winning Grammy awards. Did you know that you can actually go as an independent artist to the Grammy website and apply? And all you got to do is meet the deadlines and you can be up for a nomination. That is really cool. You can like go do that right now. Like, why wait? You already have a great catalog of great music. Do it. Anyway, great music is always cutting through the clutter. Not because of a crap load of blogs write about it or Dini Mussolini breaks it on his podcast with 14,000 listeners or because it's great music. Well, really, it's because it's great music that will incite a response. Bad music is crap. Good music is tolerable. Great music incites a response. And a response is repeated in the screens, shares, downloads. So that's it. That is simple as it gets. Create great music. If it didn't work before, try again. Go back to the drawing board. Listen to the Billboard's top 100. That is the wave. And that's the rule, man. Either you go with the wave or you create another wave. Dig? Right. All right. With that being said, I'm tired of talking now. You know that is my job. Like, how are you talking, Coach Denny? How are you tired of talking, man? This is your thing, right? Because I'm going to let the music do the talking. Here is Wild Fur, Big Long Line.
Thank you.
gonna be so cool talking with Wild Fur, man. These are some radical guys. But before we go any further, let's see how many folks are online. Ooh, 1,032 souls are live with us tonight on the browser. Man, you guys are beautiful for joining us. You could be doing anything, or you probably are, but you can multitask that you and still be tuning in. I really appreciate you guys. October has been one of the most inspiring months already, and meeting some truly focused artists and bands, and Wild Fur is one of them for certain. So I really enjoyed writing this interview personally. It's going to be awesome to talk about the up-and-coming record, Feel Free, with them, and how it was made and what all went into making it, but also really awesome to hear how they avoided the trap many of us musicians fall into. That whole thing about how you've got a lifetime to make your first record and 2 weeks to make your next album. That whole trap. Wild Fur will come out sparkling on the other side of this latest record, and the way that it was recorded, made, and achieved is a lot more free and organic in nature. As I'm sure they will describe it, but I could possibly could ever do in any introduction. So I'll stop here. Otherwise, I will risk writing another paragraph and talking about these fantastic songwriters, producers. But let me say this clearly. If you don't make it to the end of this interview, you are doing yourself a disservice. There will be a lot of amazing questions and things to say, but towards the end of this podcast, we want to really drive home the point and speaking about how the art, let's rephrase that, how your art and music should drive you to want the best for yourself, man, like every day, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. And that's one thing that we always talk about on this podcast, about being the best version of yourself. See? And there I go, just rambling again. Anyway, let's take a second or two to welcome Wild Fur to our podcast. Hey guys, how's it going tonight?
Good, thank you for having us.
Hey.
Hey, no problem at all. So, shall we dive right on into it?
Do it.
All right. First and foremost, we have Willie and Nick, correct?
It's Wiley.
Wiley.
Nick.
Sorry about right. that. Yeah. Nick's right. Genius. All right. Wiley and Nick, I would like to say a huge thank you from everything I've read and researched. Anything I could find about you on the internet all led me to a lot of things to talk about. But before we get right into it, let's start at the beginning for those that do not know about you yet. What brought you into a lifetime of music?
Nick, hey. I think for me, probably it started at a young age. My dad was always a big music dude and had a pretty extensive record collection. When I was like young, way younger than I should have been, like handling his records and stuff, he showed me how to use the turntable and basically gave me access to a whole other world. You know, it was like from there on out, I spent hours and hours a day just in the music, head in headphones, and from there, you know, just like interest as a listener sort of led me to wanting to learn how to play. And sang in chorus in high school and got a bass, and a buddy of mine played guitar, and we just started playing music together, and it's been ever since. You know, I've just been always playing ever since then.
Right, and this is Wiley. I started off as a performer. I like got into acting when I was really young, probably like 6 or 7 years old, and I was on stage from a really young age. I learned to play guitar when I was about 14 or 15 years old, and something about that just clicked. I wanted to join those two things. I wanted to be on stage. I wanted to write music. I really enjoyed that like crossroads of writing and performing.
Definitely. How long have you guys been together as Wafer?
It's been about 3 years now.
Cool deal. Like, how did you guys meet?
Kind of through the scene, really. I had a band and Wiley had a band, and we both were living in Chapel Hill, North Carolina at the time. And I was living at a music studio that me and a couple friends of mine had a music studio that was in my house. And Wiley's band came out there and recorded some songs and when he was doing his other project. And that's how we met, just kind of hanging out, them recording music, you know, just getting to know each other that way. And then a few years later, after both of us had album cycles for the stuff that we were recording, we were both kind of regrouping and we're just hanging out one night and just kind of played each other the stuff that we'd been working on and decided that we both thought it was cool and we should collaborate. And we've been collaborating ever since then.
Definitely. So what has kept the passion to continue roaring throughout these 3 years?
Well, I think like with anybody that plays music, like we call them like lifers, you know, people who end up playing, you know, who you just know are going to be around playing music, is that it's like something that you need to do, you know. The passion isn't necessarily always roaring, but it's like,
no other choice.
Exactly. It's like, well, neither of us, I think, quitting would even be like, you know. And
right.
What else do you do?
So we're always just like working for that next thing. And I think that's been it, you know, it's just like, we love it. It's what we're doing. It's who we are. And it's just like, there's not really another choice about it. It's like what we're about.
Yes, sir. All right, now you guys are more than welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like a pretty exciting time to be Wild Fur. You've got the new release, Feel Free, coming out on November the 4th of this year, which is next week, I believe, correct?
It is next
next week. Tell us a little about that. What went into the recording of it? Where did it happen? And like, how long did it take?
We recorded it together just on our own, and we started out initially working on it in basically the spare bedroom of my house, and it's kind of a product of persistence. We kind of had an unspoken pact to get together every week. We'd get together on a Wednesday or whenever we can and just make music for that evening, work on whatever songs we got, you know, and a lot of it was taking just sketches that we had of ideas and then just building them all up together, just like stacking them, you know, basically starting with square one, drums and bass, and just seeing where things went. Then throughout the years that we've been working on it, in the backyard of my house, I have a spare building that we built a recording studio in. So now we're in a little bit more of a formal setting than a back bedroom, so we can actually get some honest God, do some drum sounds and just have things sounding a little bit more legit and professional, which is really exciting.
Definitely.
I don't know. We've been at this record for, I guess, about 3 years now. There was kind of like a year there of we did some, you were talking earlier about releasing singles. We didn't dive right into just making an album and then releasing an album. We sort of decided to take songs that we thought were strong at the time and just release them one at a time over the course of several months and just kind of slowly generate interest and slowly generate, you know, it's all been a product of patience for us.
Yeah. we kind of decided, like, we were thinking about the way that people absorb music nowadays. And just ask of somebody to listen to a whole album. They don't even know, you know, what you're about yet. And so we decided to put out a single a month for a while through different music blogs and stuff like that, just to, like, let people kind of absorb it in a small way before we decided to make an album.
We felt like we could get people to consume an entire song. You know, when somebody, if you release an entire album, just put it in someone's face, they're just going to start one song, listen to a minute, skip, on to the next song, kind of progress through the album that way. And we felt like if we would just release one at a time, maybe we could get people to sit down, listen for 4 minutes, and we can sort of take them on an experience. Like, kind of, because we were trying in our production to think in a more grand sense. Like, have the songs have different sections that are kind of wild, kind of, you know, like, shouldn't necessarily be paired up together. So that seems like a good way just to, like, get people to listen, you know?
Right. All right. Yeah, that really touched on what I was talking about earlier with the single release.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, the way you guys did it is a very great and great example about just keeping the consumer's interest. And I've told accountable artists, is like, you just can't jump out off the porch with an album and expect strangers to buy it. That's like force feeding a baby squash. It's not going to happen. It's going to be
right. Not now. Oh, it's like it's 2016 and there are millions and millions of people who are playing music, and you have to give people a reason, you know?
You have to. I mean, even if you listen to TV shows now, there's only maybe 30 seconds to 45 seconds to a minute of a piece of a song in it. You'd be like, hey,
exactly.
I like that background song. Just,
yeah, right.
That's how much attention. Yeah, that's how much attention span we have. Everything's so quick clicks, on to the next one. There's so many trends and things happening. It's just, yeah, the single way is the way to go. Like, baby feed them.
Every day, that's, like, part of the thing, too, is it's like, you know, something goes viral today and nobody remembers it tomorrow.
Right, yep, you're right. All right, guys, from what I've read and heard, of course, this isn't your first time in the studio, which you also mentioned earlier, from your previous with other projects and bands. What did you learn from your previous experiences that helped guide you to the success that you've to the success of over recording of this new record?
Well, I think that one of the big things that we both learned from kind of leading bands before this was that a lot of times what happens when you get 4, 5, 6 guys in a room together, girls in a room together, is that that sometimes it can be like a too many cooks situation. Like, everybody has such good ideas that you kind of lose the spirit of what it is that you're doing. And I think a lot of this is we recorded all the instruments, just the two of us. We put these songs together over the time that we had, and we really made it what we wanted it to sound like. You know, we made it. It's a very purposeful record. Like, we took the time to say, like, we have similar, but we also have very different visions on these songs, and, like, understanding, just taking the best part of what we were doing and making it into the song.
Definitely. My first impression of listening to the single from Feel Free, Can You See Me, was that the sound overall, the feeling of the song and the atmosphere, I don't know, guys, I might be crazy here saying this, but it all seemed a little more personal on this particular tune, and I love personal songs. That might be the best way to phrase it, but I suppose what I'm saying was that I felt like there was a noticeable evolution or evolution to the writing, sound, and performance, it truly seems like one of your best work is about to come out right now. Do you feel the same about all of that, or can you clarify my my thoughts?
Well, I mean, this is Wiley. I wrote a good bit of that song, and it is definitely very personal. It was about a very real relationship that I was in. And, you know, I feel like part of a big part of making music is sort of exercising those demons, you know, and saying the things that you can't say as a person, but as a musician, you can. And I, you know, I would hope that our best work is about to come out, because we spent a lot of time on it, and that's just, I mean, that's how that goes. It's like, if we're trying to, if we're going to make a record, it should be the best it can be. And I think we've done a lot of work to make that happen.
Yes, sir. All right. It is that time for a break. Before we cut to the break, I just want to remind our listeners, since you guys are on the browser, just click episode info and you will see their bio along with social links. So make sure you head on over during the break and connect with those guys. Follow them, share, like them, poke them, whatever there is to do out there on social media that you guys like to do. Do that. And of course, we have more songs from Wild Fur. Matter of fact, we're going to call, instead of Vigilante Radio, this is Wild Fur Radio. So here's the next one, Made in the Shade.
Down, 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 down.
If you keep it up someday soon, they'll see you in. We're listening to Wild Fur, Saint Gloria. All right, guys, we are back from our break. Now, that particular record, Saint Gloria, I'm going to say this. I think that record should be on the background music for some cool movie or TV show. Preferably The Blacklist. You know, I can see Red 18 talking, and there's Saint Gloria playing in the background. That is a real cool jam. I really want to see Wild Fur play live. I love songs like that. Chill, man. The lyrics are just great. All right. Oh, and tonight, before I forget, we are taking questions from Twitter. So if you're on Twitter or Twitter, go ahead and send me a DM or just tweet me at Houdini Black in 3D or over at Station's Twitter, which is no longer the hero. I had to mirror in that. But I think it's Villainous Radio also. Yeah, at No Longer the Hero. We already got a question. It's from Johnny Bravo. Johnny Bravo, you sent a question last week. Cool, man. Thanks for listening. He says, Dini Mussolini, I thought you were going to play the record you had just finished talking about, Can You See Me? Okay. Johnny Bravo, I'm going to tell you something real cool. Now, we were talking about singles earlier, correct? And these are the guys you should really be talking to about single release, Wild Fur, because they did like a debut release with Pace Magazine. And this was the only place you can actually hear this record when they first released it. At least when I was doing the research, it was that way. I don't know how it is now, but that was the only place that I could listen to that record. So there's like, if you want to listen to it, dude, Joe Bravo, you got to go over to pacemagazine.com and check out the song. And you can't even download it, but you can share it. So share it. Do that. It's real cool. Oh, he's typing again. Hold on. You know, Johnny Bravo, it'll really help if you call 602-753-1754. And, you know, you can talk live with us. But if you're shy, I understand. It's no problem, no problem. He says, cool, thank you. Man, I waited for that. Nah, Jenny, you're good. I know we're in the age of texting. We're in the age of texting. I'm going to tell you something real cool about the age of texting. So about a year ago, I was on this dating app called OkCupid. Don't judge me, but, you know, life's busy and you don't go out bars only when you perform there. You hardly have any time to date, okay? And that's me. I don't do the dating thing. So having these apps and whatever, that's real cool for me because I can actually, you know, think of things on the spot and check myself before I send it so I don't, you know, be nervous and say something generic or crazy are dumb on my part because I have a habit of doing that in the spur of the moment. I'm a genius at that. So the apps give me a chance to actually analyze what I'm going to say or, you know, try to be overly witty or something. So it was this real gorgeous girl, and we chatted back and forth. We like some of the same books. She likes to listen to music. I like to play music. So it kind of worked out, okay? So we exchanged numbers, and we're texting. You know, this whole time I was thinking, now I have her number, I'm supposed to call her. That's what the Southern gentleman is supposed to do. I'm from the South, Mississippi, as a matter of fact, the belly of the South. And the gentlemanly thing to do is to call the lady. So I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I got to call her. You know, she's going to hear how nervous or how creepy my deep voice is, you know, and, you know, spook her and whatever. And she's like, I like to text. I don't like to talk on the phone. I'm like, phew. So the whole getting to know each other process happened over text messaging. Now, I wasn't really used to that because I was, you know, like I said, you know, you talk to the lady over the phone. You know, if you want to date, pick up the phone and call you like, hey, let's go to the movie. I'll pick you up at such and such time. That's what I'm used to. I'm not used to you want to catch a movie with a smiley face emoji or the winky eye. I'm not used to all that. But she was, and I understand that's the time of era that we are in. Sad, brave, new world, but here we are. All right, we are back, Wild Fur. I'm wondering, guys, if the release... back up. So, Johnny Bravo wanted to hear the record, Can You See Me? Was I correct about it only being available to Hate Magazine? Because at the time I checked it out, it was.
I think that's right, yeah. I mean, it was released exclusively on Paste. You can listen to it on SoundCloud, but through Paste Magazine. So,
man, that is genius. That's on Beyonce and Drake, you know, release exclusively to Tidal or to Apple. But that's real cool. All right, jumping back into the interview. So the release of Feel Free, does anything at all in terms of how you might feel about confirming your place in music, that you're right where you belong kind of thing? It always takes a while before any of us really feel like we're not going on to something else right away. Once again, that we're established, safe, and secure in what we're doing or the position we're in, with all things considered, work, music, life, all that stuff has to really combine in just the right way in order for that security to really exist, I suppose. How secure does the music dream feel these days, guys? Is it all clearly a part of your reality now?
Yeah, it's sort of taken a lot of work to get to the place where I've been able to find like a life music/music balance. For me, I think the biggest thing was choosing to, instead of spending all my time just kind of like hanging out in the scene and going to clubs and just partying, basically, choosing to live my life. I know that's a very broad term, but what I'm trying to say is choosing to get up every day, work your, and then come home and work on your art. The persistent working on your art over a long period of time begat the product that wasn't there before. It was all about shifting my mindset into realizing that I had to put in the time. You know, like you've got to take the time, you've got to sit down. If you don't sit down and work, nothing's ever going to happen. And I've set myself up in a position where I can focus on music. I definitely take the time every week. I have hours that I section out, but like this time that Wiley and I are going to get together and work on recording songs or work on writing songs or just even personally, you know, I'm going to sit down and do a mix of this project we've been working on, you know, and just trying to keep always moving forward. And it's gradual a little bit, never to hit all at one time. It just requires constant steady.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of this band has been, in some ways really easy. You know, I think we got to open for War on Drugs at Hopscotch Music Festival for like our third, fourth gig that we had played as this band. And that, just being able to do stuff like that, we had gotten to open for Cold War Kids in front of like 6,000 people, and doing stuff like that, whole new perspective on it. It's like you get your moments and the rest of the time you work, you know? And that has been a really big thing, is that we've gotten to do bigger things with this band than we've gotten to do with a lot of other bands. We've gotten to have bigger moments. But those moments are always bridged by us putting in the work, you know?
Definitely. So let's go back to the single for a minute. Honestly, I was completely impressed. And we're talking about Can You See Me. Like, the way that you sung on it was spot on perfection, truly. So my question is, what singers, oh, you're welcome, or songwriters did you listen to growing up that you feel have an influence on what you write today?
You know, there have been a lot of singers that have changed my perspective on singing. People like David Byrne from Talking Heads, who's not really a very good singer necessarily, but had a style, you know. And I think that, like, while I can sing, like, while I can carry a tune, I think that a lot of that comes down to the feel of it and the style of what you're trying to do. And that's had a lot to do with it, is just understanding that having your own voice is maybe the most important thing, you know, that being what you're about is what it comes down to.
Definitely. So let's keep you in this moment for a second. Back in your time, back in your history, somewhere along the way, one of those influences or perhaps some other artist or band completely changed everything for you along the way, somewhere, somehow. You've heard something, you saw something live for your eyes, or maybe met someone you idolize. But something, Wiley and Nick, something changed it all for you, and turned music from something you wanted to do into something that you needed to do, and solidified the direction you put yourself on to become a musician for home. So let's talk about where that moment in time actually is for you along the way, where it was, who it was, what happened, and what made it such a massive impact on your life.
I had this moment where I was playing in this band at the time named Roman Candle, and that band was why I ended up moving to Chapel Hill, actually. And we were on tour, and we went up and played in New York one night, and through this kind of intermingled web, Ryan Adams came to our show. Basically, this guy named Chris Samey, who's a local producer in Chapel Hill, who had done a bunch of Ryan Adams records in the early days, had gotten a hold of him and said, you know, you should check this band out and go see them play. And he actually showed up at our gig in New York, which was kind of crazy. I was a huge Ryan Adams fan, kind of like, I was a little starstruck when he showed up. But
oh, wow.
He was, and we played, and afterwards we were standing there talking to him, and he's like, you want to go outside and have a cigarette and just chill? And I was like, sure. So we went out there and talked, and he just like said super simple things of like, keep doing what you're doing, you know, just keep at it, it sounds great, keep the grind on. And like, just having someone that I sort of worship for, but like somebody that I was really into, tell me that I was doing something good, really had a big impact on me. Sort of made it seem attainable, I guess, or just like that it wasn't a fruitless effort. You know, like the effort truly mattered, and you know, people could relate to it or pick it up and enjoy it. So that was kind of an impetus.
Hey, I'm not sure if you guys cut out for a second.
Like, we're still here.
Okay. All right. All right. There anything in particular that you wanted to achieve in recording, feel free.
You know, I think a lot of it is contained in that album title. We really wanted to set out to create music that was what we were trying to create. And put the time and the effort into what that was going to mean. And it was just the two of us that recorded the record mostly. And I think that we just kind of like said to ourselves, like, we're not going to put this record out until it's what we want it to be, you know?
Feel Free also was sort of a frame of mind, or like a sort of mantra that's terrible, weird to say too, but like really just a state of mind that we tried to put ourselves in to every recording session, where it was like, you know, when you're writing a song, there's a multitude of things that you can do to sort of ornament that chord progression or ornament the melody that's going on around it. And try to be open to like any crazy thought, whether it was like, I don't know, beating a drumstick against the side of a trash can, or, you know, just doing anything. We would put it down, listen to it on playback. If it sounded good, we'd roll with it. If it didn't sound good, we'd scrap it and go on to the next idea. So truly trying to keep ourselves in a sort of all options open sort of frame of mind until we had to choose whether or not those options were what we wanted to stick to. Feel free, man.
Yes. Definitely. So what inspires the writing? And when you're listening to the final cuts of the songs, how do you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you've got everything recorded exactly as you were looking to do it? And that particular song is truly done and ready for the rest of our ear holes.
Well, I think in some ways that's kind of a tough question, because I think that both of us would say there's still plenty of work that we would like to do on the songs that we're about. But, you know, I mean, what inspires the writing of it is, you know, I mean, if you're playing music as a musician, you know, in a serious way, you're trying to communicate some part of your life that you can't play. And I think that's what, you know, that's what drives me as far as writing goes. But like, you know, I don't think that any songs are ever really done. At some point we just kind of said, like, this is good enough, you know? And I mean, on this record for the next 20 years, you know, but there's more records.
Totally, like even listening to playback of the songs that you're playing the record, I hear them and I think about things that I sort of wish we'd done differently, or right. Just changes in the mix, you know, like,
yeah, it's, you know, it's the process. It's always, yeah.
Right.
It's never truly ever done. Yeah.
Yep.
You just have to leave it.
Are you guys doing your own mixes?
We did for this record. I think for the next one, we have a plan of what we're going to do. I think we're going to go down to Nashville and try to do our next record. We have some friends down there that are doing really cool things.
Okay, cool. And we should probably make sure that people know where to find all of this new cool music. Makes sense anyway, since we have you guys here and this is a promotional channel, marketing, advertisement, all that stuff. So where should we send everyone online? We're up to 1,065. Cool. And for the folks afterwards, where should we send them to find the music?
Well, Feel Free is up for pre-order on iTunes. So you can buy it there. We also have a Bandcamp page, which, like, Bandcamp is a great platform for anybody that's looking to get into music. It's a great way to release songs and make the money yourself, kind of. So our Bandcamp page is wildbirdcamp.com. both those places are good. But I mean, it's up for pre-order. Like I said, it's coming out next week. You can get it now and get the first single on there. Like as an immediate download if you pre-order the album. We also have a website, wildfirstsounds.com, which is just a great way to keep up with what we're up to. All
right, cool deal. So lately I've been switching up my tradition. I usually offer the Vigilantes Radio open floor where I allow the guests to just say anything they want to. But I kind of just like to have conversation within our dialogue. You know, sometimes it makes the interview flow better. We end up becoming great friends, singing Kumbaya, having cold beers, that kind of things. But what I really want to talk about is your thoughts on accessibility. Like, do you think, and I know most of the top billed artists and some indie artists that are on their way to be, you know, top billed, like you have to go through mounds and bounds of management and administrators and legal teams just to, you know, say hello. What do you think about that, and are you guys?
Well, I mean, I think that we're pretty accessible as artists. You know, there's a lot of ways to reach us. And I understand having to go through management and everything else because, you know, a lot of musicians just want to make music. I mean, we're like that too, you know. And there's a lot of work to be put into music. There's booking and there's publicity and there's all the other things. But, I mean, I think that we're accessible in that sense and that, like, you know, you can reach out to us and talk to us. But as far as accessibility goes, I think that we're fairly accessible, but that doesn't mean that we aren't, like, tuned in with what other people are doing. Like, we, you know, we only listen to the kind of music that we're making. And
just email us at
wildfirstsounds@gmail.com. What's the answer?
Do you guys ever think you'll get to the point where you will have to have teams of management to I don't filter, you know, fans out for you guys? If you ever got to that plateau?
One can only hope.
I mean, like, would you put mounds of barriers around your creativity, you as a person, if that happened? Or would you still allow at least some avenue of, you know, accessibility?
You know, I would always like to think that people could get in touch with us because there are plenty of bands that I would love to get in touch with and talk to on the level, you know. But
right,
I mean, those things are there for a reason. I mean, the people that you're talking about are people who have really put in the work and are trying. I guess Twitter is like sort of opening a whole new avenue of communication where you can get in touch with people directly. But I mean, there's a lot to be said for having people that are working for you that are doing their job. And a lot of that is filtering out some of the stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to get your opinion on it. Me personally, I probably wouldn't close off every avenue. I mean, 20 years ago, like, to meet someone, you had to purchase tickets to the show and then wait backstage, at least try to grab their hand or, you know, pass them your CD or just say hi. And nowadays, there's Twitter and Instagram. You can just tweet them, and every now and then they'll reply. But
yeah.
I believe that most inspiration do come from fans. I guess it really depends on your whole perspective of energy, I guess. In my case, I would prefer to, you know, keep an open line to, I guess, say the dedicated fans, because those are the ones that are going to purchase whatever you put out, and not really be wishy-washy on, I don't know. It's a lot of politics with that.
That's with our fans. That's like, I mean,
yeah.
You know, there's never a time that I think we're going to get to, no matter how far we go, that we don't want to talk to the people that actually listen to our music. That is like,
yeah,
that's the key. I mean, but, you know, I mean, there's different levels of communication. There's different promotions and other bands and all the other things. And like, we always want to talk to people that listen to our music. I'll say that.
Right. All right. Well, that was their opinion. And after the music break, we'll be back to put Wild Fur in our traditional, that is one tradition we're not getting rid of, our hot seat, to hear either some vocals, porn, spoken word, freestyle raps, jokes, stories, live instruments. You never know what these creative minds and vessels will produce in the spotlight. So when we come back, we'll find out if they have what it takes to be put on the spot, a test of their true artistry. Here's Wild Fur, Starting to Take.
Put it out into space. Cityscape vanishes below me. Nose points to the sky, and the flight turns its path toward the great known place. Thank you.
And we are back. It's that time. It's on you guys. Offer. You're in a hot seat.
So we just got to play?
Yeah, man. You can do whatever you want.
All right. Well, we're going to play you a little bit of a song that is not on our record. It hasn't even been recorded yet. We've never played it live. We're, like, sitting in our studio in Durham, North Carolina right now. We're going to give it a shot. Does that sound good?
Sounds awesome. We love exclusives.
All right, cool. Well, this won't be out for quite a while, given the way things have gone. But it's called Million Dollar Hashtag.
I wrote a million dollar hashtag. Every day it paid. Sold it, printed off a t-shirt. Now every day I get laid. Popping bottles of champagne, crystal. As you would most naturally. But the people out there grinding in their jeans. That's my scene. Jump out the club, jump into the deep. All the rides light my hand up the side. From the console I hear. When the money comes, it's easy. The earth moves from under your feet. Leaves you floating on a cloud, eagle, missing the forest water
to actually hear that one laid down. That was super tight.
Great. Thank you, man.
So shall we take questions from the fans?
Let's do it.
All right. So here it is. Questions from the fans. I'm working on that one. All right. Twitter. Let's see. Johnny Bravo has another question. So, that was great playing you guys, first and foremost. How is the North Carolina music scene?
It's fantastic, man. I mean, we're in the triangle. We're in the Durham, Chapel Hill, Raleigh triangle, which are all cities that are within 20 miles of each other. And I can't even tell you how many amazing bands there are and artists from all genres. I mean, from hip-hop to metal, there are just incredible people from this scene. And
it's great stuff, like Sylvan Esso is from Durham. His called Messengers from Durham.
Yeah.
Who's Raleigh bands?
Jack the Radio. There's like this, American Aquarium, which is like a country band, is like they're just killing it. They're from Raleigh.
Mandolin Orange is from Carrboro.
Yeah,
like a huge kind of like string, like bluegrass band,
old timey band. Tune and the Real Law, like hip hop, like Rhapsody, you know, from Durham.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like Ninth Wonder. I mean, lives in Durham. Like there's just like too many amazing people to name.
Cool deal. All right, we have another question. Suzanne asked, what is your genre?
That's hard. I think as any musical artist knows, that's like a loaded question. We are, I guess, defined as indie rock, but like we take a lot of cues from all kinds of different music. I mean, what you were talking about earlier, just like listening to the top 40, we definitely listen to the top 40. We listen to a lot of like older hip hop. We listen to classic rock. I mean, we are coming from a lot of different places.
Totally. And it's sort of intentionally trying to avoid genre. It's not like we're trying to settle on one thing that we're just going to kind of ape and use and like define ourselves as this thing. In a lot of ways, every song that we write is coming from a multitude of genres, and we're trying to like wrap it all together and push it all together into this like one tune. And that song and those genre inspirations for that song will vary from song to song. So it's
cool. All right, another question. This is my username. Cool username, by the way. He is asking, he said he's in a similar situation about too many cooks in the kitchen. He's trying to figure out a way to either work through it or work himself out of it. What is your guys' advice?
Man, that's a tough question. I don't even know. I mean, for both of us, what happened was we kind of left the bands that we had put a lot of work into and decided to collaborate together. And sometimes that's what it takes, is kind of scrapping things and starting from the top. And sometimes what it takes, I think, is just recording songs the way that you hear them and bringing them to other people. I think that that's a perfectly viable option, too. Just understanding what you're looking for and communicating that clearly to other people.
Totally. And be unafraid to try something new. I think one of the biggest changes that got me through that too many cooks in the kitchen thing was, you know, recording with drummers and bass players and an entire band to like get these dudes together to kind of like build this song that you've been hearing. Whereas I would say rewind and like find a keyboard. Like if you're not a drummer, find a keyboard that you can play drums on, or get a drum kit and try to find a way that you can make a simple beat, and then pick up a bass guitar and get a bass guitar and like build a bass on that, and then put some keys on it and some guitars. Like just try to like fully flesh things out in your own vision without anyone else's input, and then take that idea later and present it to people.
Totally. In this band, we always say BYV, do your vision.
Awesome. That is awesome. All right, we got another question from North Carolina, Chris. I guess he's from that area. He's asking, say that again?
I just said North Carolina.
Yeah. He's asking, how do you guys make decisions when there's two of you?
We argue.
It's very diplomatic, democratic. We always come to an agreement.
But at the same time, there are also times when one of us will be like, I'm going to fight you on this, dude.
Oh, definitely. You there's know? No, not to say we don't fight.
Like, I'm just saying, like, there's like, there are times to stand up for what you're going for. And there are other times when if you're like collaborating with somebody that you respect, to be like, I'm going to listen, I'm going to hear this through. You know, you should always hear it out. But I mean, like,
right.
There are also times when you hear it out and kind of be like, I still don't agree with you.
Totally, that's truly it. Push and pull, give and take, compromise. Like, that's the key. You have to respect the other person's input and feelings and decisions, and then try to find a way to incorporate what you're feeling with that.
But never compromise on the final product. Like, that's
no
the other thing. It's like, compromise, yes, but like, always like make sure that what ends up coming out is better than the sum of its parts.
Totally. All right. Sally O'Malley just tweeted, I'm just outside of the Carolinas. Do you guys travel? And when is the next live show?
Yeah, we do travel. We're playing Cat's Cradle Back Room on November 4th for our album release show, which is in Carrboro. And then the next week we'll be up in New York for a few days. We're playing at Pianos in New York on Thursday, November 10th. We're going to be doing a lot more traveling as the year goes on. This is like the record that we're definitely doing a lot of touring for. So we will be doing a lot of that.
All right, cool. Well, guys, thank you as always for checking out my podcast over here at Vigilantes Radio. All episodes are available for free download once the show ends, and that includes past shows as well. If you'd like to request music or send something for me to play, just email it to me at vradio@onlyonemediagroup.com. I'm genre free. I do not judge. I absolutely do not base my opinion on hearsay, but facts. And if all you have always listened to me, you know that is BS, because all of my facts are right and factual. And that's the bottom line. Nah, I'm just kidding. On behalf of myself, I'm Dean Mussolini, your host. I appreciate you guys for tuning in either afterwards or live with us. Make sure you spread the word. Also, special thanks to my guest, Wild Fur, for joining us tonight. Just remember, guys, to be yourself. Be absolutely great at it. Peace.